And by the faithful gifts of our listeners, let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we can...
And nature's God. And we know that those two references were to human conscience and to the Bible, God's holy word. We know that from their law teacher, William Blackstone, and his commentaries on the laws of England. And because they built it upon God's law, the Bible, it has endured this long. But those evildoers, as you have said, Dr. Sten, who want to build a satanic world order, which is indeed what the New World Order truly is, they know that unless they destroy the foundation of God's word, God's law, underlying it and undermine it, then they will not succeed in destroying this constitutional republic.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment with Pastor. And ladies and gentlemen, our enemies are not without but within, and they're undermining the Christian foundation of our nation.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
You may have heard about the 90 essential nutrients or the Mighty 90 needed for good health. But with all the products out there, what exactly are they talking about? The Mighty 90 is 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 60 plant-derived minerals, and 2 essential fatty acids. So, now you know. But with all the products you see and hear advertised, what exactly do you buy to come up with the Mighty 90 and the right ratios to promote good health? Youngevity has made it easy with the Healthy Start Pack, which contains one canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Vitamin and Plant-Derived Mineral Complex, one bottle of Bone and Joint Enriching OsteoFX Plus, and one bottle of EFA Plus Essential Fatty Acids, all in the proper ratios to promote good health and vitality. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Well, this is Dr. Sten, and certainly David is saying that everything points to the fact that our government is becoming tyrannical because, of course, we are ignoring the limitations that were placed on the power of the federal government by the Constitution. We're taking the chains off of government, and certainly they are being molded to be put onto the people. Now, President Obama is doing all sorts of things he does not have the right to do. He is using executive orders, which are only to implement the laws passed by Congress. He's using executive order to produce laws, but Barack Obama doesn't believe in our Constitution. Barack Obama really wants to destroy this country by running us further and further into debt. I mean, certainly within the last 4 years, he has increased the debt well over $5.5 trillion. Remember, it took us 200 years to develop $1 trillion in debt, and Barack Obama increases our federal debt $1.6 trillion a year during his years in office. And he'll say, oh, well, that wasn't my fault. Yes, it was, ladies and gentlemen. He's come up with all sorts of new and expensive programs. This is not to say that George W. Bush didn't do exactly the same thing. He increased our federal debt, certainly $5.5 to almost $6 trillion during his 8 years in office. But Obama's outdone him. This is an organized plan. If you want to read the plan, it was written by Cloward and Piven in the Nation magazine, I believe in 1966, and simply said, look, if we can destroy America, we're communists, we want to destroy America, but you do this simply by spending and spending and spending and bankrupting the country, and then the whole thing collapses, why we will be able to take over and implement our communist state. That's what this is all about. And Obama is doing that. But remember, Obama is simply the front man for the people who put him in power. Because when Barack Hussein Obama became president, of the original people he appointed to office, 11 of them came from the membership rolls of the Trilateral Commission. There's only 86 members there, David Rockefeller's organization. And of course, Hillary Clinton was not a member of the Trilateral Commission, but her husband was. And certainly Barack Obama picks of all the people in the country to replace Hillary, a woman named Susan Rice, who just happens to have come from the membership rolls of the Trilateral Commission. She had to give up her membership when, of course, she went into government. And then, of course, she was turned down. Who was the next person that Barack Obama picked? Why, one of the 87 members of the North American chapter, a man named Senator John Kerry. Do you honestly think for 1 minute this is accidental? Ladies and gentlemen, the electoral process is fraudulent. You go to the candidate every 4 years not to vote for the candidate of your choice, but of their choice. They have seized control of the political government of the United States, exactly as Barry Goldwater stated was their goal, and you'll find that on page 280 of Barry Goldwater's book, With No Apologies. You can get used copies to us. You need to get the book. You need to read the chapter on our unelected rulers, starting with page 280. Go right ahead, David.
Well, you know, the state, our founders designed to be the best check that would prevent that kind of tyranny from taking place, and our Constitution is still designed for them to do that. For example, on the gun control mantra that they're screaming about now, and they're probably going to enact something or other, but the state could stop that immediately and say, well, you might try to do that somewhere else, but you cannot do it in the boundaries and the jurisdiction of our state, because all state officials take an oath to the Constitution. I was with two elected officials graduating from our U.S. class, elected in West Virginia, and they took our U.S. Constitution course and graduated, and then were running for office and won their seats, and they are now in a powerful position to help the state of West Virginia stop unconstitutional things that are happening from Washington, D.C. It's very simple. The state can simply pass legislation that says, you know, whatever the federal government wants to do in terms of grabbing guns is illegal, and we will penalize any federal official or even any state official that cooperates with a federal official in seizing the guns of any citizen within the boundaries of the state of West Virginia.
And let me just point out that they talk about assault rifles. Does anybody ever mention how many people were killed with assault rifles last year? It was 312. Most of the people were killed with small arms. Certainly there were a number of murders in America with small arms, but of course at least 2,000 of them were gang-related. But basically, if you actually check the population figures and check, take out the gang-related deaths, why there's very little difference between England and the United States as far as overall homicides is concerned. But, of course, we're never going to mention that because, of course, they want the first step to take away the automatic weapons, and then, of course, they really want to register and then take away all the weapons. And they say, all we want to do is register. They're lying, ladies and gentlemen. Registration is a prelude to confiscation. Go right ahead.
As it has been certainly in the history of the world, all the dictatorial tyranny, whether it's Hitler or Mao Zedong, or on and on the list goes of tyrants who register and then they confiscate and then they murder them by the millions. Well, the states have the power in their hand to stop any tyranny, that is, any violation of this Constitution at the borders. The problem is most state legislators have never studied the U.S. Constitution, or if they have, they just don't have the backbone. They're missing a spine. They're some kind of jellyfish. They miss the spine to stand up and say, no, the federal government cannot do this. I took an oath before Almighty God, and my oath requires me to prevent the federal government from violating the United States Constitution within the boundaries of my state and our jurisdiction. It's very clear when you look at Article 1, Section 8, there's 18 things the federal government can't do. If it's not on that list of 18 things, the federal government cannot do it. And the Bill of Rights, here's the restrictions as well upon the federal government, and obviously the Second Amendment being the perhaps the strongest language anywhere in our Constitution. You know, the right to keep and bear arms, they shall not infringe. No wiggle room in that whatsoever. They have no authority to do so. Well, looking at Article 4 and Section 1 of our U.S. Constitution, it deals with a full faith and credit between the states. We need to remember that each state is sovereign, and it did not surrender its sovereignty when it joined the Union. What it did was it agreed in this Constitution and by this Constitution to do certain things and to allow the federal government to do certain limited delegated areas of authority, but only those limited delegated areas written down in the Constitution. So one of the things that every state joining the Union agrees to is full faith and credit between the state. That is, each state will recognize as valid, as well as give judicial enforcement to the legal enactments of another state that's also part of the Union. For example, in Nevada, it's fairly easy to get a divorce or to get a marriage, and those marriages are to be recognized as valid by all the other states in the Union. And or another example might be a will that in North Dakota, if North Dakota accepts this will as valid, it must be accepted in Mississippi. It's interesting, I believe. I remember the details. North Dakota requires three signatures, where Mississippi only requires two. And so a will executed in Mississippi still is enforceable in North Dakota, even though it only has two signatures, because the state of Mississippi and its law recognizes that will as valid. And so North Dakota, even though it's not up to the standards of North Dakota, North Dakota must recognize as valid and give judicial enforcement to the legal enactments of the state of North Dakota. Now, the problem is, and we really are facing a constitutional crisis in our country today, that if the legal enactments of one state are manifestly against the public policy of another state, there's a constitutional crisis set up, and we have that today with six states now saying that two men can marry or two women, and I don't like to call it marriage because it's really not. The best term I can think of it is sodomite unmarriage, not marriage at all. It's two sodomites who are committing abomination that God has condemned so clearly in his word. So we have six states that recognize sodomite unmarriage, but if those two sodomites go to another state and demand that other state recognize it as marriage, there's a problem, a constitutional crisis set up. 32 states in the Union have put it before the voters, and those 32 states have, without fail, said no. Such a thing is a lie. It's not marriage at all. We will never recognize it as marriage. So here we have a crisis because the full faith and credit of those states that have sodomite on marriage cannot be recognized by those states that refuse that, and rightly so. They say that's not marriage, and they are right, because the Creator is the one who defined marriage when he made Adam and Eve, male and female, and he performed the first wedding ceremony, brought together the man and his wife, and the two became one flesh. All of that is God's law. And it's, I believe, the height of hubris and arrogance. It's spitting in the face of the Creator to claim that you can redefine his holy institution of marriage. And I dare say those legislators that have done this, as well as the voters that have voted for this, on Judgment Day, they're going to have to answer before Almighty God for the wicked, evil thing that they have done indeed they have to answer just like Sodom and Gomorrah. And, but, God have mercy on those states that have done this wicked thing.
But my concern is, David, that God is going to bring judgment upon this country. And basically, there's no instance in all history where a nation is turned against God and turned against God's law, where God has not eventually turned his back on that country and brought his vengeance upon them. And if you certainly you read the scriptures and you read about the end time prophecies, and they talk about so many of the nations that exist today, they talk about Libya, and you know very well when they talk about Assyria, what they're talking about, and when they talk about Persia, why they're talking about Iran and Afghanistan and Pakistan, that was original Persia. But America isn't mentioned, unless perhaps it's as Babylon, a last Babylon, the mother of harlots, the center of all world financial trade and reactions, and that's about to be destroyed, at least that's what it says in the scriptures. Would we certainly be surprised if God was to bring his vengeance upon this country because of what we've done with homosexuality and so many other things? We'll be right back.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging. Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now 1-866-405-4000. 405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and David is simply talking about how the rules certainly from one state would apply to another ordinarily. There may be situations as certainly as far as homosexual marriage, which will certainly create a problem, a constitutional problem, but certainly most of the average law, if it was applied in one state, would be accepted in the other states, and certainly if you were a criminal in one state and fled to another, why, they could demand your extradition. In other words, they have a warrant out for your arrest, or perhaps you've already been convicted, you fled from California to Nevada, or the governor of California can demand that you be extradited. And ordinarily, not always, but there might be certain circumstances where that would not hold true, but ordinarily you'd be sent back to California to face justice. Go right ahead, David.
Well, thank you. Yes, and because the governor is seen in our system of government as responsible for the safety and well-being of all persons within his state, a governor might refuse extradition for a fugitive if he believes that person will not receive a fair, humane treatment in the receiving state. For example, one thing that took place a number of years ago with South Dakota, governor there was Governor Janklow, I believe, and Jerry Brown at the time was governor of California. Well, in South Dakota, there had been an uprising of Indians, a killing took place, and there was one of the leaders of the Indian uprising that was accused of murder. And so there was a warrant out for his arrest, and he fled to California. And because South Dakota recognized the death penalty, and anyone convicted of first-degree murder was likely to be sentenced to death, Jerry Brown, who opposed the death penalty and believed it was no way to ever treat any criminal, even if they were convicted of first-degree murder, Governor Jerry Brown refused to extradite this Indian leader back to South Dakota. Well, Governor Janklow, rather than getting mad, I guess he got even. What he did is he released a whole series of prisoners, early release, with this condition for them on parole. They could only reside in the state of California. So he said, Governor Brown, you like criminals? Well, let me give you a whole batch of criminals here and see how much you enjoy having an extra number of criminals in your state. That was a rather humorous thing, and I guess the people of South Dakota applauded Governor Janklow for doing so. But in general, the state who has a criminal in or accused criminal within their boundaries is going to extradite that criminal to the state that makes the request of them. Again, the relationship between the states means that each state is honoring the policies of the other state, the laws of the other state, the privileges and the immunities of the other state, and these things were, from the very beginning, a very important agreement that solved some of the problems that had existed under the Articles of Confederation. Now, there's an interesting little section of history that deals with this extradition requirement of our Constitution, and that was the time leading up to the war, which I like to call the war that prevented the war to prevent Southern independence. Excuse me. And that war to prevent Southern independence, one of the contributing factors was a piece of legislation passed in the 1850s that said fugitive slaves, when they were captured in their where they had escaped to, had to be returned to their masters. This is the Fugitive Slave Act. And it was extremely unpopular in the North, not only among the rabid abolitionists, but many others as well didn't think this was a just law. But in a sense, it was part of the extradition agreement that each of the states had entered into. They may have not thought of this aspect of the extradition part of the Constitution beforehand, but certainly they had made a commitment to it. So the Fugitive Slave Act said that if a slave was found in a free state, that he could be, upon request, returned to his master, and they began to do this in the 1850s, and as it took place, there were battles in court that took place over this, because whites who helped a fleeing slave were accused of having committed a crime, but juries regularly refuse to convict them. It's like they would not convict a fellow citizen who was helping an escaping slave.
And I think that's really to the credit of the people of the Northerners, and basically a lot of them helped the slaves if they couldn't stay in those states, escape to Canada, because, of course, they felt that the slavery was wrong, and it was wrong. This is the thing. But, of course, they had it would have eventually gone away had it not been for the people who wanted a war. They wanted the Civil War because they wanted to expand the power of the federal government, so any effort to solve the problem of slavery and to outlaw it was effectively blocked by the people who wanted to justify federal power over every aspect of our lives, and that's exactly what happened. That is really certainly what the Civil War was fought about. It was not fought about slavery. The Emancipation Proclamation wasn't certainly actually declared until 1863, but they don't teach that in schools. We'll be back in just a moment, certainly, with Pastor David Whitney as we talk about our amazing Constitution.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden, all heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Youngevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid that is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Well, then David was simply talking about how many of our original states were actually parts of other states, and how certainly it was actually Kentucky. It was certainly a part of, I think, West Virginia, and or part of Virginia, and basically Virginia didn't want to protect it, and so they let Kansas become a separate state. Well, before we go on, David, I want you to go ahead and tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you with the Institute of the Constitution, how they can begin to learn about our Constitution so they will be totally familiar with it and with the restrictions that are placed on the federal government, so they will understand that the current current administration, as the previous Republican administration had no respect for our Constitution, a small group of very evil and wicked people have taken control of both political parties and are utilizing their power over the central government and their power over the media and their power over the educational system to conceal the fact that, of course, most of what goes on in Washington, D.C. is unconstitutional, violates the very fabric of our law, and these people are criminal, they're a subversive element that wants a dictatorship in America, and that's one reason they want to collect the guns. We ought to say it instead of giving all the reasons why, of course, what they're doing is wrong. If you don't understand that this is a move towards dictatorship, why, of course, you can't understand anything going on today. And because the media is all going along with this, because certainly many of our other organizations are going along with it, it simply reflects the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think and believe. Well, our telephone number, if you have a question or comment, for Pastor David Whitney on the Constitution is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, but David, how can people get in touch with you, get in touch with the Institute, take the course, and then prepare to teach the course to others?
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. What we've done is put together what we call a host kit. That is, we've put together the lectures, 12 lectures, with a student handbook that is a detailed outline of each of those lectures and test questions and everything that the student needs, as well as the person hosting the class, a separate manual that gives them the answers to the test questions, kind of some tips on conducting a class, but it's all designed to be turnkey, that you really need no background, no expertise. Average citizens are doing it. I just graduated 150 students out in Western Ohio this past weekend. Exciting time, because two of those students actually crossed the river from West Virginia into Ohio to take the course while they were running their campaign for the State House of West Virginia. And they both won a seat. 13th and 14th districts in West Virginia. So it's exciting that we have two graduates that are going to the State House and are going to be part of turning West Virginia, we pray, in the direction of protecting the people against the egregious actions of the federal government. And anyone can do this.
I think it's important, for David, that people understand the programs are on DVD. And
yes,
Basically what you do is you play the DVD, and you'll actually see Michael Prout and other members of the Institute as they present certainly lectures and information. And they're divided up into individual classes as they cover step by step what the Constitution is, why it was designed the way it is, how it has changed. And it's not changed legally. It's changed because the subversive element working in our nation's capital intent upon centralizing all power with the federal government. Go right ahead, David.
And so people can get our host kit either by calling us at Institute on the Constitution. Our toll-free number is 1-866-730-9796. That's toll-free number again for Institute on the Constitution is 1-866-730-9796. Or if you want to, people can go to our website. It's an easy phrase to remember. It's theamericanview.com. The American View is all one word, theamericanview.com. And when the first page comes up that you see, you'll see a button there. Click for a host kit, and it gives you the option. You could purchase the host kit as a whole. You could take the course with all the videos and student materials online so that you can view it at your leisure, although we really strongly encourage people to put classes together, because we know that as people meet together and interact over this material, talk about what they've seen in the paper in light of what they're just learning, that process is very, very valuable and just encouraging to everyone who's part of that and lights a fire under some. I know that these two state delegates I talked to from West Virginia, one of them urged the other to run. The other person really wasn't planning to run. It was kind of maybe a thought way off in the distance of his mind, but it wasn't. But as they continued in class together, the one who was already running challenged his friend and said, "You need to run in your district." And he did, and he won, amazingly enough. So the thing that we have designed this for is anyone can conduct a class. And we have seen great success with people just picking up the course and conducting it. So our website is theamericanview.com. or you can call us toll-free at Institute on the Constitution, 1-866-730-9796. Ask for the U.S. host kit.
And I think it's important, ladies and gentlemen, you don't hear about this through regular channels. You don't, because the people who control the media don't want you to know. They don't want people to understand the Constitution. They don't want people to learn that the people who control the media, the small little clique of the six major corporations that controls 90% of the media, they're subversives. They certainly want to alter our structure of government illegally. If you want to alter our government, then you amend the Constitution. They don't want to amend the Constitution. Little bit by little bit, they want to centralize all power in the central government so they can have a dictatorship. And when you understand that, you begin to understand what's really going on today. And of course, they buy the support of the people with all these unconstitutional programs. Social Security is unconstitutional. Medicare is unconstitutional. Food stamps are unconstitutional. Obamacare is unconstitutional. But after all, everybody likes it. Almost 150 million people in America today are getting some goodies from the government. The only trouble is the government doesn't have the money to pay for it. 46 cents out of every dollar it spends has to be borrowed. And this is designed intentionally and purposely to collapse. They know what they're doing. And when the chaos comes, they'll be there to disarm people, and they'll have the military to establish their dictatorship. Go right ahead, David.
Yes, and it's an evil plan, and one of the things that I'm so encouraged by is that many people are seeing the answer to this is to go back to the drawing board. We don't need a revolution. We just need a restoration of the design that our founders gave to us, a wise design, a design that worked very well the first 150 years. It worked extremely well. It's only been in the last 50-plus years, probably close to 100 years, that the destruction of that design has gone rapidly forward. So we can restore the republic. And one of the things that I'm encouraged so much by is the idea that if people, often we look to Washington, D.C., hoping that, if we get the right senator in and the right congressman and the right person in the White House and the right person in the Supreme Court, we're going to see a restoration of liberty. Honestly, I've lost hope that that's going to happen at the level of Washington, D.C. I do have great hope that that will take place at the state level or even at the county level, where the local officials who also take an oath to the Constitution, if they're a state delegate or a state senator or governor, they take an oath to the Constitution, which means they're taking an oath to see to it that their state prevents abuses of the Constitution by the federal government against the citizens of their state. And there's so many examples where states today could interpose on behalf of their people and prevent tyranny from coming at least within the boundaries of their states. There's some encouraging things happening on the gun issue with states like Wyoming that have not only said that if a gun's manufactured in Wyoming, no federal law can touch that because it's obviously not interstate commerce. And no federal gun control can have anything to do with that weapon. And they've actually said that any federal official who comes into Wyoming attempting to impose any sort of penalty or regulation of guns that are manufactured in Wyoming is going to be fined and imprisoned. So they put some teeth in their legislation to prevent the federal government from violating the gun rights of the people of the state of Wyoming. And we pray that many, many other states would rise up and do the same, particularly in this day where the federal gun grabbers are just warming up their engines to come grab the guns from the American citizens.
And let me just suggest, ladies and gentlemen, that you actually get in. Write a note or send an email to your congressman and to your senator. And so if you want to be more active, get in touch with the Gun Owners of America, Larry Pratt, good friend of ours, and they will actually send the emails for you. But do something. Start sending off all sorts of letters and emails right now saying certainly the federal government is violating the Constitution. There's no right. Certainly the people say, why do you need an AK-47? Well, why do you want to arm the police with AK-47s? Why certainly do you need to have the people as well armed as the police? And of course, if our government were to collapse after an EMP attack or something like that, and you disarm the people, then of course there'd be no one to defend America. We need our citizens to defend America. This is one reason why nobody has ever been willing to invade the United States, because our people were armed. And that's the best reason I can think of. because, of course, we are living in a very tenuous world today. There are a million things that could happen where we wouldn't have the military to protect us, and under those circumstances, people are going to have to defend themselves and their families. Well, right now, let's go to Nick, who's calling from Oregon. Nick, do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I do. I think I just missed what Dr. David Whitney was just talking about on the Wyoming issue. But my question pertains to this, as far as nullification. Now, I understand jury nullification. I try to get that out to the local people in my community, the power of jury nullification. But now we're in the, I've been trying to find, where in the Constitution does it actually state that the states or the counties or the cities have nullification of any unconstitutional law passed by the federal government? Is there a law that actually states that?
Well, David, what are your thoughts?
Thank you. That's an excellent question, a question about nullification. What it means is when a state official or a county official, such as a sheriff, takes an oath to the Constitution, he's swearing that he is going to uphold the law. Our Constitution says the federal government is given certain delegated rights. And then you look at the 9th and 10th Amendment. 9th, of course, deals with us personally, that just because some right isn't mentioned in the Bill of Rights or in the Constitution doesn't mean we've surrendered that right just because it hasn't been mentioned. No, we retain all of our God-given rights. And the 10th Amendment says that the powers not delegated by this Constitution to the federal government, all those other powers that are not delegated to them remain with the states or with the people. And that 10th Amendment is so important because it means a sheriff, for example, who takes an oath to uphold the Constitution, it means he is taking an oath to see that the 10th Amendment applies within his jurisdiction, which is his county. He's not responsible for the county next door or, you know, another state. He's responsible at his county, that no federal government official comes into his county and does anything that is in violation of the 10th Amendment. In other words, the only thing federal officials are permitted to do within his county are Article 1, Section 8 powers, 18 things listed there, such as a post office. So, yes, the post office can be held in his county, but the IRS actually is illegitimate. The IRS is not legal. The IRS can be forced not to enact anything in his county, and he has the power of the sheriff to do that. When they go to grab somebody's property, he can say, sorry, guys, you're not going to do that. I think of Sheriff Brad there in Indiana. There was five different federal agencies trying to shut down a dairy farmer who simply sold raw milk from his dairy farm. And they, for years, were going after this guy, trying to shut him down by every means possible. Finally, he appealed to his sheriff, Sheriff Brad, his last name escapes me right now, in Indiana. He told those federal agencies, all five federal agencies, if you set foot on this farmer's property, you will go to prison. I will put you in prison. You have been warned, and you are outside of your jurisdiction. You have no authority, no matter what federal agency you are, to come in and put this dairy farmer in control and regulate and put him out of business. And he was perfectly right to do so. In fact, the federal agencies knew he was right because they all backed off.
And I think, Nick, you asked about nullification. It doesn't specify nullification, but basically it specifies in the 9th and 10th Amendments that the power of the federal government is to be limited. And, of course, you can say that nullifies then this effort on the part of these people. The thing is that we have to enforce that nullification. We have to enforce the 9th and 10th Amendments and restrict the federal government to the items and the issues that they were allowed to deal with. But you see, the tyrants, little by little, just a little here and a little there, gradually have expanded, certainly, and taking all power to Washington, D.C., which is where we are today. Nick, anything else before we let you go?
Yeah, that is a great explanation. That really clears it up for me. Now, there's Mark Kessler. I guess he's the chief of police in Gilberton, Pennsylvania. I don't know if you've heard, but he's trying to get an ordinance passed in there to nullify any federal laws that would violate any violate the Second Amendment.
Well, good morning.
Basically, that would be the ordinance would be a form of nullification, right?
Yeah.
Well, it would be a form of nullification, but it would be based upon the 9th and 10th Amendments, okay?
Very good. Thanks so much.
Thanks very much. Go ahead, right ahead, David.
Oh, I'm glad you earlier you mentioned our good friend Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America, because he's going to be speaking at our First Friday event in February. Each month we have an event on the first Friday of the month, and although people all over the country obviously cannot travel to Pasadena, Maryland, you can view it on our website. If you go to our website and click on the First Friday button there, there'll be a link, 7 o'clock Eastern time, the Eastern time zone, 7 o'clock. You'll be able to, through the Internet, watch and hear that presentation by Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America. We're very excited about this opportunity, particularly at this point in time.
After his, of course, his two interviews with Piers Morgan, and I would comment, Larry is going to be our guest. I think it's either Thursday or Friday. I think it's Thursday afternoon of this week. I called him after his latest debate and congratulated him on the excellent job that he had done as far as Piers Morgan was concerned. He kept his cool. Piers Morgan, I don't know if you noticed, but if you saw the January 9th debate, why Piers Morgan would ask a question, and then when Larry would try to answer it, why, of course, Piers Morgan would interrupt and talk over him. And Larry, to his credit, just kept right on talking and smiling, and that just really got to Piers. He said, oh, you think this is funny? But Piers eventually would shut up and let Larry finish his thoughts. Larry did an excellent job. Now, he's only going to be able to be with us for about 30 minutes because there's a tremendous demand now for interviews with him. And as Larry told me, he said, I hope Piers keeps it up because we've had more people joining the Gun Owners of America than ever before. Piers Morgan should be thanks. In fact, we all ought to write a little note to say, thanks, Piers, for certainly getting the information out and for helping the NRA and for helping Gun Owners of America and for demonstrating, of course, that there really are people who want to take away our guns and, of course, are lying to do it. And Piers is certainly... I had the audacity to call Larry a liar because he said there were 927 actually homicides in England last year, and there were. They weren't gun crimes, but they were homicides, the most violent country in all of Europe.
You already know that calcium is important, but did you know that calcium cannot be absorbed without magnesium? That's a fact, and the calcium that isn't absorbed calcifies your soft muscle tissues. Haven't you ever wondered what's really causing all your muscle aches? I'm Pat Sullivan, the founder of Jigsaw Health. I created Jigsaw Magnesium with SRT to solve my own magnesium deficiency problems. You see, magnesium helps people feel younger because magnesium keeps the soft tissues from calcifying. This helps you sleep better at night and feel more energized during the day. Call 888-352-5050 and we'll explain why Jigsaw Magnesium with sustained release technology is so much better than any drugstore magnesium supplement. Mention this radio ad and receive $5 off your order. 888-352-5050. JigsawMagnesium.com.
What has happened to the judicial system in these United States? From the Supreme Court to the smallest county seat, we've seen the judiciary make decisions which are more legislative than interpretive. The judicial system was designed to ensure that the laws of the land were just and constrained by our Constitution. Now judges have immunity and cannot be prosecuted when they act outside the law. This must stop. The judicial branch needs reform. We must pass laws which bring a renewed sense of justice to our nation's court system. I urge you to go to judicialreformnow.com. That's judicialreformnow.com. At that website, you can find out what's really going on in this area of lawlessness, and more importantly, you can find out what you can do to stem the tide of judicial malpractice. judicialreformnow.com. judicialreformnow.com.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for prostate support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan David, Sir Dave from the Institute of the Constitution. One more time, get your telephone number out so people know how to get in touch with you.
Our toll-free number at Institute on the Constitution is 1-866-730-9796. That number again is 866-730-9796. And our website is theamericanview.com. Urge people to get a host kit, start a class in your community to raise up the kind of citizens that we need to take our country back from those who want to plunge us into the evil of the tyranny of the New World Order.
Okay, we're going to have to let you go because we're out of time. God bless, God bless David. Give my best to Michael, who will be talking to you real soon. Okay, fine. Well, during the time we were off the air, Jeff had called from the state of Washington and said if you go to the Ruger website, R-U-G-E-R, that's a type of gun, and they have handguns and rifles. And basically, there's a place there. Of course, if you want to send an email to your senator, to your congressman, to your representatives, to President Obama, all you have to do is just fill it. It'll take you about 30 seconds. So go to the Ruger website, and certainly you can send about 8 telegrams or 8 emails, certainly within about 30 seconds. Also go to Gun Owners of America. They have a similar situation. You got to get involved, ladies and gentlemen, and let the people in Washington, D.C. know that you know what they're doing is unconstitutional, and they have a nefarious object, and that is a dictatorship in America as they move us towards the world government. Well, this is the time I need to certainly remind our listeners, my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and if you're in a position to help us financially, give us a call. 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You can join the Radio Liberty family. You can certainly advertise with us. You can certainly get the various products we have. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. And if you were in a position to buy a case of books, cost you $150, but you get the books for less than $240 each, you can pass them out, you can give them away. But this is an excellent means of reaching people and letting them understand that there really are powerful forces out there that want to destroy what was once the land of the free and the home of the brave. And these people have seized control of both political parties and make mockery out of our electoral process. And of course, you'll certainly want to read Brotherhood of Darkness. You want to get in other people's hands. You certainly will want to read David Rockefeller's memoirs you can get from us. Or on page 405, page 405 of Memoirs by David Rockefeller, he tells you about the secret cabal that he's part of. He admits to being part of a secret cabal that's conspiring against the best interests of the United States and working with others around the world to bring about a more integrated, a global and economic structure, one world. And then he goes on to say, and if that's the charge, I am guilty and I'm proud of it. I'm an internationalist. And these treasonous people, ladies and gentlemen, are working behind the scenes. David Rockefeller is the permanent honorary chairman of the Trilateral Commission, the permanent honorary chairman of the Council on Law and Foreign Relations, certainly a permanent member of the Bilderbergers. And of course, he is one of the most wealthy men in the world and certainly dwarfs Bill Gates, the Rockefeller family and foundations dwarf Bill Gates and Warren Buffett. So why do we talk about them being the richest people in the world? To distract you, ladies and gentlemen. Most of what you think you know just isn't true. The media is controlled by 6 major corporations, which largely determine what you think. They pretend to be liberal or conservative, but they're really all controlled by the same people, dedicated to the establishment of a one-world government, a one-world financial system, and that's why they have to destroy ours. That's why they're running up debts they know will never be repaid. And that is, of course, how they're going to impoverish the American people when they collapse the system. And finally, a one-world religion. Because, of course, they hate Christianity, and that's why they've taken God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools, and they know exactly what they're doing. But nobody's going to tell you that this is the bywork of the Brotherhood of Darkness. Our number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. You can listen to our programs 24 hours a day there. As you know, we do 5 hours of talk radio a day. And then we ask you to pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and our protection. And we'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Barry Shamish, who's an investigative reporter who actually worked over in Israel for 30 years. And, of course, he exposed many of the corruptions over there, and certainly the assassination, certainly of Rabin, and the effort, certainly the poisoning of Sharon, who's in a coma now. And, of course, Barry eventually was getting so close to the very devil's heartbeat that he was forced to leave the country. He came to America, and we try to get him on a regular basis to bring us up to date with what's happening in the Holy Land. Barry, certainly, what are we going to be talking about tonight?
Well, I've had to wait a week and a half, but I'm going to finally conclude the combination of what happened in Benghazi, Libya, and the Liberty. And they are very related, but when
you're
I
you're talking about the U.S. less liberty, I assume the American ship that the Israelis certainly were ordered to sink, and President Johnson, Robert McNamara wanted to sink the Liberty and kill all the naval personnel, all the sailors and officers on board, so they'd have an excuse to go to war with Egypt. But fortunately, the Israeli airmen wouldn't bomb and destroy the ship. But you go ahead.
Well, that's pretty well the story. Actually, I would say LBJ was the one who gave the order. McNamara was just a poodle. But nonetheless, what happened to the Liberty and what happened in Benghazi are really very similar. And, I've had a nasty couple of weeks. And somehow I got out this article despite feeling really, really crappy. I want you to know, but I got it out, and it led to all kinds of stuff. Now, look, it began, I don't know, just kind of a fateful coincidence, or for whatever reason, a Texas writer, his name is Robert Morrow, sent me a notice about a book. It's about the Liberty. It was Peter Hunum's book. It's called Operation Cyanide. You can get it at Amazon. And he wrote me that this important book came out in 2003 by Peter Hunum, by the way, about the Israeli attack on the Liberty June 8, '67. Now, here's what he wrote. It gets more interesting as it builds up, but he knew that Lyndon Johnson ordered Israel to attack the USS Liberty. The goal was to blame it on Egypt and justify the USA entering the Six-Day War on the side of Israel so that America could take out Nasser of Egypt. And of course, how long have I written this? But he took Peter Hunim's prime evidence, or the evidence he liked the best anyways. Hunim interviewed, I hear the music already.
Well, I would simply point out that Sonny Berry is absolutely right. I interviewed a number of the men who were on board the Liberty, and we have a four-tape set or four-CD set of my interviews of the survivors of that, certainly that inhumane attack ordered by the President of the United States, who wanted to kill over 200 American servicemen. He wanted them dead. And they were threatened. They were told by their officers if they ever revealed what happened, they would be sent to Leavenworth or worse, and they knew what that meant, or they would be killed. These are American servicemen, ladies and gentlemen, who were betrayed by their leaders, just as our American servicemen are fighting over in Afghanistan have been betrayed by their leaders. Those who fought in Iraq were betrayed. Those who fought in Vietnam were betrayed. We'll be back here in just a moment with Barry Shamish. Go right ahead, Barry.
Right. Well, what happened, this is in Hunim's book, and Robert Moore was very excited that the U.S. Strategic Command, the name of the Air Force officer at Beale Air Force Base in California. They were put on alert an hour and a half before word supposedly got to Washington that the Liberty had been attacked by unknown forces. And, what Robert Morrow adds is only the orders of the President of America could have put a nuclear air unit on high-level alert. I did in this article, but only the Council for Foreign Relations could have covered up the crime. And I'll say CFR whenever somebody is CFR. You'll see the pattern. You can actually follow this. John McCain's father, also John, he was the admiral. He led the government commission of inquiry into the Liberty. It exonerated Israel for deliberately and with deadly purpose, almost sinking the USS Liberty in 67. But what he did is he covered up for LBJ, is what he did. And boy, have I gathered information. What happened is that Morrow gave me a phone call, and he said, listen, you've got to get the expert on your radio show. I have a little radio show on Tuesday evenings, First Amendment radio, and he said, you've got to put Phil Nelson on. Now, Phil Nelson is, by the way, he was an excellent guest, I must say. Now, he has written about the Liberty. He wrote a book, it came out in 2011, it was called LBJ, The Mastermind of the JFK Assassination, which in itself would have been a whole show, I was sticking largely with the Liberty, and, well, in short, what he said is that Johnson was a demented psychopath, and that's what he said. He said, you don't understand this person. For him to kill 290 soldiers was worth it because, well, you know what he said? He said exactly what I wrote and what Hunim wrote and what Morrow wrote, we all wrote the same thing. The Israeli chief of staff.
Hold the thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and very strictly talking about the attempt on the part of the American government, LBJ, President Johnson, to kill all of the servicemen on certainly on the USS Liberty, so that then we would have a justification to go to war. This is how you get people into wars. Certainly, all of these wars, the First World War, the Spanish-American War, the Second World War, the Vietnam War, the Korean War, certainly our war with Afghanistan, our war with Iraq, these are all contrived. You have to have an excuse. The American people don't want to go to war, so you need an excuse to get them into a war. And that was, of course, the fact that the Egyptians sank the USS Liberty. Well, of course, the Egyptians had nothing to do with it. Certainly, it was the Israelis. The Israelis launched an attack on the USS Liberty under direct orders from the President of the United States, Lyndon Baines Johnson, who wanted an excuse to attack Egypt. And, of course, they could tell the American people anything. They'd believe just what they were told. They'd believe the Egyptians had done it, just as we believe today what we're being told about what happened certainly at the Sandy Hook School in Newtown, Connecticut. But probably there's very little truth in what we've been told. Go right ahead.
Well, again, Phil Nelson was terrific. Look, the issue of ships. Americans sink ships and go to war. The Lusitania dragged you into World War One. The sinking of the Maine dragged you into the Spanish-American War. Well, the Gulf of Tonkin, 1964, that was Johnson. Johnson contrived an attack on an American ship in the Gulf of Tonkin, and he got you into a 10-year war with 60,000 dead Americans, twice that number of casualties. He turned America around from the time of his presidency to this very day. America is not the same place anymore. And Phil Nelson was describing sociopathy and paranoia and all kinds of legitimate problems with Johnson, serious problems with him. Murder wasn't a big deal with him. The grand picture was the big deal. Getting rid of the Soviet, well, he was Soviet because the Soviets built him the Aswan Dam and Nasser threw out the Americans, and the Soviets were using Egypt as a base to spread their communism, and Nasser had to go as far as Johnson was concerned. And, let's get back on track to the story. We'll get back to Phil Nelson in time. I had a very fascinating week since I wrote this article, I got to tell you. I met some people we may view the world a little differently, but we sure view it the same. And in the case of the Liberty, Phil Nelson just outright said what I wrote over 10 years ago. That, in fact, it was Johnson who ordered Diane to sink the Liberty. Now, I'm going to do a little reminder. This also came from Nelson, but I also wrote about this. During the Six-Day War, Yitzhak Rabin, who was the Minister of Defense, he went bananas. Nelson brought in a meeting he had with David Ben-Gurion, where Ben-Gurion went nuts. He thinks over the Liberty, which I've never heard before. But Rabin just lost his marbles. He may have planned the war. He may have been the chief of staff before the war and trained the military, but he wasn't there during the war. He was at home muttering to himself. He had a total nervous breakdown. The only person left who Johnson could order with the authorities to order the Israelis to sink an American ship was the IDF Chief of Staff, General Moshe Dayan. He was the bad guy in this from Israel's point of view. And if we have time, we'll talk about what a bad thing it was for Israel that he didn't sink the Liberty. Now, look, Peter Hunam, this is a little bit of my anger and and disappointment with life, I had an effect on the book. Peter Hunum and I met in Israel. Now, remember, I had a book in England that was called The Fall of Israel. It was a very well-reviewed book. It was the lead review in The Economist, and much more. So I was kind of known, to the British. And Peter Hunum, gave me a call. He had read my book on Rabin, and he was doing, you are distributing his BBC film. He did a film about the Liberty, and it was damning of Israel, by the way.
It was a very, very good film, though. We still carry that DVD on the Sick of the Liberty. We have two of them, one put out by the veterans who survived, the other put out by Peter Hunan at the BBC publication. Go ahead.
Sure. And Hunan, by the way, was no small deal. Look, there was somebody you may not remember, but in Israel they sure do. That was Mordechai Van Nunu. He was a disgruntled worker at the Dimona nuclear reactor who stole papers proving that Israel, in fact, was constructing the atomic bomb at Dimona. And he kind of broke that story, which supposedly Israel didn't want released. I don't know what difference it would have made. Everyone knew it anyways. But nonetheless, it was Hunum who wrote the Van Nunu papers for the Sunday Times. So when he read my book, Who Murdered Rabin, and met me in Israel, he thought I got everything right. I gave him my tape. Now it's a DVD. Nobody has tapes anymore. Technology is changing a little too quickly for me, but I have a tape. It's called Who Murdered Yitzhak Rabin. It was recorded in Jerusalem at the Rabin convention there, and I gave it to him. He phoned me up, and he told me it was a tour de force, and he vowed to commit himself to pursuing the Rabin truth in whatever form he can expose it. And, well, listen, as I said, my life has had a lot of disappointments. This wasn't the first time an established journalist from the mainstream media had made the same commitment. I've impressed a lot of people with my journalism, but in every case, the projects were forcibly halted.
But of course, Peter, I mean, by Barry, this is because if you tell the truth and you're a prominent journalist, why, you'll lose your job. Certainly, we saw Glenn Beck, not one of my necessarily favorite people, but he actually came out and told the truth about David Rockefeller and the secret cabal that Rockefeller admits to being part of, and they, Fox, simply went ahead and fired him. I think that took a lot of courage on Glenn Beck's part, and I think that probably your Hunan realized, of course, he'd lose his job if he told the truth, and he chose not to do it. I know a lot of people within the media who intentionally withhold information because they want to keep their jobs, and I've been personally told that by members of the media. Go ahead.
All right, it's not that much consolation, I got to tell you. I just view it as one more of life's disappointments, and I'm feeling my age and my health is withering away. All of it could have been different if Hunum. There are other examples, okay, showed a little courage. He knew what the truth was, but the fact is he was in Israel making this Liberty film, and I had information that he found very useful, and I got zero credit for it, so I'm bitching right now. My information is, now this, again, I have to dig in my notes, and it's not a simple matter. I interviewed a pilot who was ordered to sink a ship. He got to it, he saw the American flag, and he said to himself that he's not going to bomb an American ship. They're our allies. And he dropped his bombers in the Mediterranean, and he returned to base, and he told me the whole story. He said, we could have sunk that thing in 10 minutes. It was helpless. But enough of us hedged our bets that it didn't go down. And more to the point, 37 dead is a terrific disaster, but it's better than 290. What, in short, what happened is Israel was ordered to sink at the Liberty. The sailors and pilots hedged their bets enough that it survived. But we'll go into where that led. It wasn't the greatest thing in the world that it survived. And for Israel's sake, because all the sailors who survived saw it was the Israeli Air Force and Navy who was attacking them. So Israel couldn't get out of this without a major, major, major cover-up. And that is where Admiral Kane of the CFR...
Admiral McCain. McCain. John McCain's dad. Go ahead.
Yes. Admiral McCain. Right. Well, he just saved... Oops. He saved Israel and he saved Johnson.
Well, the tragedy is, ladies and gentlemen, most people really don't understand what really goes on behind the scenes. You're not going to hear this sort of thing on regular outlets because, of course, if you tell the truth, if you work for one of the major networks and you tell the truth, that will be the end of your career. If you're smart, well, you'll stay there and get as much information out as you can, as I know people who I personally like and admire have done. And I had one friend who worked almost 25 years at KGO in San Francisco, major radio station there, 810 on the dial. But, of course, he did that by not telling all the truth. But he told enough truth. He reached a lot of people. He did a great job. We'll be back in a moment. Barry, before we go on, are you feeling better now?
A little. I had an episode. I think and I hope it was the flu knocked me out for like 2-3 days a couple of weeks ago.
Well, if that's only for 2 or 3 days, well, you're fine because a lot of people are being laid up for weeks with this terrible flu.
I thought it was a stroke. I got to tell you.
Yes, that's what I was really concerned about. Any more of those symptoms?
No. My memory is coming back, but for 3 days, I couldn't even remember my own phone number. It was very scary. And the lack of medical in America, there's no infrastructure for me. I phoned doctors. They were asking for $500 for a consultancy fee, and it was horrible. I feel very alone in this country medically.
I understand, and I sympathize with you. Go ahead.
Well, nonetheless, you're right. I do have a new book, and I'm getting the reviews in from the readers now. And as soon as I'm a teensy bit healthier, I'm getting there. I'm going to write again, and I'm going to include these reviews. They're terrific. People loved it. Actually, you've got a copy. You've got a copy of The Galley before it got made into the final book.
I do, and I appreciate it, and it's a great book.
All right. I'll consider that a review. Yeah, you get it at lulu.com. That's www.lulu.com. When you get there, the book is called The Stinger, Not the Stung. But I think type in my name in the search box, and you'll get to all my books. That's Chamish, C-H-A-M-I-S-H. And by the way, I sent my Rabin book to Phil Nelson. He wrote the new book on the John Kennedy conspiracy, and in his book... LBJ was the mastermind. I do have lots in common. Perez knocked off Rabin, and that's what I proved in my book. I do have a lot in common with this guy, is all I can say. My website is barrychamish.com. Now, let's go back. Another thing we discussed, and it shouldn't be underestimated, the issue... Which, again, it's, look, I had people from the Liberty. I think it was their captain. I mean, these guys were not just simple sailors. They were a couple of high officers on the Liberty corresponding with me when I wrote my stuff with my claims. But what a pain in the neck. These guys are every bit as blind as Israelis. They couldn't admit to themselves that an American would murder other Americans for whatever political reason. It had to be those mean old Israelis. And they're wrong. Their president ordered them killed. And Phil Nelson discussed an incident also that I wrote about. It was public record. The fact that the 6th Fleet was in the general area in the Eastern Mediterranean, they could have rescued the Liberty. They could have sent out their own fighter craft, and they could have engaged the Israelis. There, it could have all been over in a matter, the whole thing, everything in an hour. But...
hold that thought. Hold that thought, Barry. We'll be back here in just a moment at Fraser Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly our guest is Barry Shamish. We're talking certainly about the effort to sink the Liberty and, of course, how it's been ascribed to the Israelis, and certainly the Israeli military was involved, but they were ordered to do it by LBJ, and certainly I believe that McNamara was intimately involved in this whole thing.
He was on the phone.
And we actually have a 4-CD set of my interviews with the survivors of the Liberty, and you'll actually hear them talking about, certainly, how Lyndon Johnson gave the orders to sink the ship and kill all 290 people on board. They wanted to kill the Americans. Lyndon Johnson wanted to kill the Americans to have an excuse to go to war with Egypt, and that's how they get wars going, and that's how they're going to get the war going with Iran in the not-too-distant future. And ladies and gentlemen, people have to understand this is what is known as an agent provocateur, a false flag operation. We have a 4-CD set. We have an excellent book on this. We have 2 DVDs. You need to get it. You need to understand the degree of evil. When the commander, when the president of the United States orders a foreign nation to kill American servicemen, why, you know we're in real trouble. And the fact that this is not talked about today and that Lyndon Johnson is not universally condemned, why, of course, simply reflects the degree of the control that exists of what the American people think. And I will tell you that the people you'll hear me interviewing on the 4-CD set, most of them were afraid to speak out. They wouldn't even tell their wives what really happened for 20 years, destroyed their lives, knowing full well that they'd been betrayed by their own nation. Go right ahead, Barry.
Well, according to the 6th Fleet, the testimony, and there was a public commission of inquiry, again, unfortunately, led by Admiral McCain. And, well, apparently, Liberty radioed the 6th Fleet, asked for help, and help was in the sky. And, well, apparently, they had to get permission to go to war. Somehow, the Admiral of the 6th Fleet was on the phone with Robert McNamara, and McNamara told him to stand down, to return the plane. Don't butt in. And then Johnson, according to this testimony, and I'm going to say it again, it was testimony known to Robert Morrow, known to Phil Nicholson, known to Peter Hunem, and known to me. It's amazing this testimony isn't part of American history. Johnson got the phone and told the admiral of the 6th Fleet that he wants every sailor sunk to the bottom of the Mediterranean.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you hear our 4-CD set, you'll actually hear the servicemen telling that same story. Admiral, certainly President Johnson wanted to kill them all. He wanted to kill them all. There's only one explanation for that. He's evil. He was a subversive. He hated America. And he was quite willing to kill those men. And this is a tragedy, unfortunately, that we're about to see enacted again, because I believe it's only a matter of time before they utilize some sort of an incident to get
us. Well, that was Benghazi.
What? Go ahead.
We're getting to that. They've utilized it. What you've got, look, Johnson failed to kill Nasser, and he was dead anyways at age 51 of a stroke. And I told whom, I said, well, he was knocked off. Not everyone dies at 51 of a stroke after, well, you don't make enemies of the states and survive a long time. And Hunum said the same thing to me. He said, you know what? You sound just like the Arabs. That's what they tell me. Big deal. We have something in common. Of course, they got rid of Nasser, and in came Sadat. The next thing you know, Israel had peace with Egypt. But we're not going to do that here. There's an odd, awful logic of peace in the Middle East, and it involves getting rid of Nasser. And Johnson would have told himself, we'll get rid of Nasser and bring peace. And he would have justified the loss of the sailors and the liberty. But he ordered the 6th Fleet to stand down. And he ordered his air command at Beale Air Force Base to go on military high alert. This is what Johnson did while the liberty was being attacked. I hear the music.
But, of course, the air unit that was put on alert was the nuclear bombers. And, of course, what they were thinking of was dropping nuclear bombs over there in Egypt. Thank goodness, of course, the Liberty survived and that horrible thing didn't occur. And we did lose 35 men, but we could have lost 290 of them. That's what they really intended, ladies and gentlemen. If this is true, why doesn't everybody know it? Well, you need to hear that 4-tape set. You need to see the 2 DVDs, one made by the survivors, the other made by the BBC, this friend of Barry's, and then the book. This is part of history that is not talked about, other than by people like Barry Shamish myself. We'll be back in a moment with Barry for the getting back to Benghazi.
I'll gather across the sea. Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer.
Barry, you go right ahead.
Well, let's go on to what is happening in Washington today. You've got an amazing cover-up going on there about Benghazi. Now, look, it's the liberty repeating itself. Liberty, of course, the president ordering his navy to abandon a ship under attack. The same thing happened, only this time either the president or his secretary of state, we'll get into that shortly, ordered his navy to abandon not the embassy, the ambassadorial compound in Gaza was under attack. The order was for the Navy not to intervene, to stand down. Look, we've got lots of very telling information that's already out there. What happened, of course, is that 4 staff, including the ambassador, were killed. But it turns out, amazingly, this is true. At the White House, the president and his Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, were watching the attack live via satellite TV in a media room. Look, the details get a bit murky from there. You know, did Hillary bring the popcorn to the event? Did Barack sneak his arm around her shoulder? All fuzzy. What has to be investigated is who gave the order to stand down from the besieged embassy. That's the scandal. And it did happen. Now, the witnesses are not schmoes. Jennifer Griffin from Fox News is one not schmo. She said, quote, sources who were on the ground at Benghazi said CIA operatives about a mile away from Ambassador Stevens' compound were told twice to stand down after hearing gunshots during the night of the assault. The gunshots were heard at about 9:40 p.m. Additionally, Griffin's report says that former Navy SEAL Tyrone Woods disobeyed orders to, quote, stand down and rushed to the U.S.
Hold that
compound.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. We'll test various of you trying to draw the analogy between what happened to Benghazi and what happened as far as USS Liberty. As far as the U.S. Liberty is concerned, why, of course, the Sixth Fleet was trying to send planes. The planes were already in the air to go to the rescue of the USS Liberty to prevent it from being sunk and the Americans from being killed. And, of course, orders came from the president. If they were to stand down, they were to recall the planes, and they did, basically, and I think and they intentionally left those men on the U.S. Liberty to die. Well, fortunately, that isn't what happened. But
well, the Russians came, and the Israelis backed off.
Right, of course, but then, of course, you have to understand something very similar had to help. Took place at Benghazi, because the CIA, certainly a mile away, was ordered to stand down and not go to the rescue of the people in Benghazi, and the question was, why? Go right ahead, Barry.
Well, again, we've got a witness, and again, Griffin's witness was Tyrone Woods. Look, what happened is he disobeyed orders to, quote, stand down.
And he was a SEAL. Was he a Navy SEAL?
Navy SEAL.
Okay, fine. So a Navy SEAL disobeyed orders to stand down. He went to rescue them. He didn't want the Americans killed, like, of course, the president and Hillary Clinton wanted, because they were watching this whole thing on satellite TV there at the White House, that they were watching as the Americans were killed, and they had given orders that they were not to be rescued. Go ahead.
Well, Woods disobeyed them, and he rushed to the U.S. compound, trying to save Ambassador Stevens and other personnel, of course. Now, after receiving fire from militants near the compound, according to Griffin, again, the team evacuated everyone they could find, okay, and returned to the CIA annex and called for more backup. Now, at that point, they called for military support because the CIA safe house, the annex, was taking fire. According to Griffin, the request was denied. Now that has to be investigated. Oh my God, does that have to be investigated? All right, it's just like the Liberty. Look, changes have been taking place. Now try and follow what's going on in the State Department right now. Now Hillary supposedly wanted to quit being Secretary of State, like she doesn't have any political aims for the future, but she wanted to quit. And her choice as the new Secretary of State was Susan Wright, CFR. We're just going to start the CFR business now. But unfortunately for Susan, she was chosen to be the scapegoat for the Benghazi embassy abandonment. And she had nothing to do with the real scandal. The real scandal was who gave the order to stand down from saving the compound. Now, what she did was announce rather hastily that the reason for the attack was an American movie insulting Islam. So obviously, this thing was in the planning stages for longer than that movie was being. Obviously, it was not because of a movie insulting Islam. This was deeply planned and weeks in the making. So she made a mistake, but she didn't commit a deadly crime. That honor goes to either Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton. Now, look at the month Hillary had starting a month and a half ago, approximately. She flew to the Middle East and forced Israel to accept the Muslim Brotherhood of Egypt as their negotiators of the ceasefire to end the war they were having with Hamas. Obviously a fair mediator. Okay, anyone could see that. It should have been the United States. She was the Secretary of State. The fair mediator should have been the United States. But no, she forced Netanyahu to accept the Muslim Brotherhood as the peacemakers. She left the region, and that day, Egyptian leader Mohamed Morsi declared Sharia law had become the official law of Egypt. It led to riots in the streets. That the day that he signed to be the negotiator and Hillary left for Washington, he declared that Egypt had finally accepted Sharia Muslim law. Now, come on, let's ask ourselves. This was done without Hillary's consent. He decided just to slap her in the face, slap America in the face.
Well, but Barry, this is exactly what the U.S. military did in both Afghanistan and Iraq. They installed governments there under Sharia law, which drove out the Christians. And certainly to most of our listeners, this would be something they would be concerned about. This is exactly what Morsi did, of course, in Egypt. He just went under Sharia law and simply drove out the Christians, or most of the Christians have already fled from Egypt. And ladies and gentlemen, where did Morsi train? Why, he trained at USC in Southern California. If he's not a CIA or intelligence agency, he'll do the one comes along. But go right ahead.
Well, it carries on. Now, Hillary returns home, and we are told she caught the flu, passed out standing up, hit her head, and suffered a concussion. And by the way, I think that's what happened to me. So it's not like I disbelieve this. It was just so darn handy for her. Look, on the day of the Newtown Massacre, and by the way, I'm not going to talk about that. I'm not an expert on that. But this stupid Batman film has got a Sandy Hook operation. It's got an Aurora operation. And it's starting to seem a little too uncanny the more you learn about it. But let's stick with our subject. On the day of the Newtown Massacre, Obama spoke to the victims. By then, he was trained to wipe his eye for effect. And it might have worked for Reagan. It sure didn't work for Obama. Did he look contrived? Well, he was looking moved. And that took the news except for, 15, 20 seconds. All of it was Newtown. But in the last few seconds, we learned that Hillary Clinton was excused from testifying to the Congressional Benghazi Commission because of her concussion. As I said, lucky break. Now, the Republicans were really ticked off about this, but she hasn't been back. And I don't think she's going to die before they let her admit that she was sitting in a room with the president and they told their forces to stand down. That's what she would have. Well, if she was honest, that's what she would have to testify to. But lucky her concussion and Newtown and everything gets buried. Well, what's coming up now, replacing Susan Rice, CFR. Oh, by the way, Hillary Clinton's husband, Bill, is CFR. Let's not overstate that. Susan Rice was sacrificed on the altar of Benghazi, and the new Secretary of State taking over is John Kerry of the Council on Foreign Relations. Now, what a coincidence. Kerry had run for the presidency a few years before, and Susan Rice was John Kerry's foreign policy advisor. You can't get rid of these people. There's one in line. If one goes, another one's waiting. Look, I wrote about Kerry when he was running for president. He is a graduate, just like both President Bushes, by the way. Don't think there's a difference, Republican and Democrat and all this baloney. They were both all members of a very occultic Yale University cabal called the Skull and Bone Society. And again, with 2,200 living members, what a remarkable election when two of them are running for president. No need for ties there. It was just a fluke. Apparently, that's what the American people want to believe. But neither here nor there for Israel. The CFR agenda is a complete disaster. I mean, they have been put, well, they've succeeded in pushing the Jews out of Gaza, most of Judea and Samaria. They're working on Jerusalem. They're working on making Israel as completely unviable as a state. But Kerry, when he was running for president, promised to appoint either Jimmy Carter, CFR, or Bill Clinton, CFR, as his administration's Middle East advisor. I'd like to see who he's about to appoint as Secretary of State. Now, it's not, you know who I think it's going to be. I'm going to tell you who I think it's going to be. I think his former campaign manager, that's Alan Solomon, CFR. He's an executive of the bane of the Israeli people. The very far-left organization is called Peace Now America. You cannot describe how much Peace Now is despised in Israel. I'm just leaving it that right now. The fact remains that Kerry is going to be a disaster. But most important, and something I'm not sure, I was the first to present this awful fact. I got it from someone, but nonetheless, I thought John Kerry was Irish. I thought he was Catholic. Everyone thought he was Catholic and Irish. Kerry's name, his father's name, is Cohn. Somehow he forgot the fact that his grandparents were prominent Jewish business people in Prague, and that his father is 100% Jewish. Now, you have to ask yourself, do you know anyone who doesn't know his father's religion?
Well, basically, Madeleine Albright, she had no idea she was Jewish either. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, she was only raised by her Jewish family in London during the Second World War. There is a lot of, look, without understanding Sabbateanism, without understanding that Prague was a Sabbatean capital, without understanding that they've infiltrated the Jews, without understanding that they infiltrated labor Zionism, of which, well, Moshe Dayan was certainly a member when he was the IDF chief of staff. Now, let's look. Again, I'm not going to tell you all about this stuff right now. It's just too much. For that, you go to lulu.com. That's L-U-L-U.com. That's where my books are. Write in my name in the search box, Chamish, C-H-A-M-I-S-H. The new book is The Stinger, Not the Stung. They're all of interest. My website is barrychamish.com. Now, let's go back to what a blessing it was that Diane had been given the order to sink the Liberty by Johnson. Now, look, Johnson may have given the actual command, but his Navy was ordered not to rescue the stricken ship, but nonetheless, Diane had the blood of 37 American sailors on his hands, and he was just ripe for blackmail. If the truth of that story came out, Johnson or no Johnson, sure, Johnson would have been tossed aside, but Israel would have been lepers. If the story that Moshe Dayan tried to kill Americans really got out, well, let's just say from that moment on, Israel was in Dayan's sodden hands. Now, Diane began very, very quickly after the Liberty. That was on June 8th. The war was essentially over in two or three more days. Israel won Jerusalem. Israel won the Temple Mount. It was buckets of blood. It didn't come cheap. Now, Diane, as chief of staff, and remember, Rabin was still out of his mind. It was Diane doing everything surrounding this war. Diane gave the Temple Mount to the Jordanian Waqf in June of 1967. the consequences of this are never go away, never. Now, it got worse. In October of 73, as defense minister, under the duress of Henry Kissinger, Diane agreed to give Egypt and Syria a full day to regain their lost territories in what became known as the Yom Kippur War. Egypt could have been, it would have been another six-day war if Israel had preempted. With the knowledge they had, Egypt and Syria would have been in as big a mess in 73 as they were in 67. But Diane ordered his troops off the Golan and pulled back from the Sinai. And it cost 2,000 dead lives in just 2 days. And we almost lost the war. You have to understand that Diane was the leading traitor in Israel. Shimon Peres has taken that over, hands down. And by the way, it's a real foot race, which of them were the worst traitors. But I think that Diane started off clean and then got blackmailed over the Liberty from that point on. My God, what he did. Look, after President Carter, CFR, again, he forced, in 77, he forced the new Prime Minister Begin to take Diane into his cabinet as the foreign minister. I don't think you understand how much Israelis hated Diane. Israel lost 3,000 lives in a matter of 4 or 5 days with him in charge. Nobody wanted him back in power. I was at Hebrew University. I remember I was new to the country, let's say. The hatred I heard about the decision by Begin to bring Diane into his government. Oh, I hear the music.
You two are drawing to the end of this segment of the program. Well, our guest is Barry Shamish. Ladies and gentlemen, Barry, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, you get my books again at lulu.com, www.lulu.com. There's a search box spelling my name, Chamish. That'll get you to my new book as well, The Stinger Not to Stung, and my website is BarryChalmers.com.
And, of course, there's a PayPal button at the bottom of every page there, and Barry
wants
to use your financial support, and we think he does a great job. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program right here at Radio Liberty. Barry, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program.
Look, all I'm going to say is Watergate is boiling under the surface in Washington. I am amazed that, well, there is a commission. You wouldn't know it, but there is a commission of inquiry at this moment. It's still meeting. There are facts that will bring down Obama if they came out.
We're talking about a commission investigating what happened to Benghazi.
Yes. Well, you're not. It's been covered up. Just straight, outright. I predict Hillary Clinton doesn't even survive her recent stroke. I think she has now become a very, very serious danger to Obama. Look, what you're dealing with here under the surface in Washington is a true blue, gigantic, presidential felling controversy over the Benghazi, embassy. Don't use the word embassy. Compound. That's how you say it. Compound. There is a massive, massive scandal brewing under the surface. What happened in the Middle East, I'm going to say it again, what was Hillary Clinton thinking about having the Muslim Brotherhood mediate a truce with Israel and Hamas and then take over Egypt and change all their laws? All this happened on the same day. What's going on is nothing changes. Nothing. You've got John Kerry back. You might have had Susan Rice. Big deal. You've got the same thing back in John Kerry. There is an election going on in Israel. It will be settled in a week. After that election is over and the results come in, the squeeze on Israel, first of all, from America, that goes without saying, but also from Europe, everybody is planning to jump. As soon as that election is over, Israel is going to be jumped at from Europe. They're going to demand total settlement, stop it, division of Jerusalem, the works, and with the backing of the Obama-Kerry administration in Washington, who are hanging on by tenterhooks. But I think they're going to survive it. I think they're going to last it out.
We're out of time, Barry. God bless, and thank you so very much for being with us.
Always my pleasure.
Bye-bye, and this is Dr. Stan. Bye. Barry is just saying that, of course, this is the tragic story of what happened to Benghazi. Obviously, it was Obama and Hillary Clinton who wanted those people. Now, whether they wanted them killed or kidnapped, I don't know. Maybe Barry will be able to clarify that down the line. But certainly, there's tremendous forces working together, consolidating their power, and they are against Israel. Certainly, this is true in Europe. Certainly, American policy is not favorable to Israel. Certainly, Obama is no friend of Israel. But, of course, the people who control Obama will use Israel, and if we're moving into a climax of history, I really believe this is true. It's going to be fascinating to see as this plays out. If we do get into a conflict with Iran and Israel and America involved with the conflict with Iran, I am anticipating, and I hope and pray that I'm wrong, I'm anticipating an EMP attack on America. And if you don't understand the danger of an EMP attack, well, you need to get we actually have the 2004 Congressional Commission report. We have a book, it's called A Nation Forsaken by Michael Maloff, who many, many years was a senior policy advisor in the Defense Department. He worked in the Defense Department for 30 years. His book goes into the very real danger of an EMP attack. We have certainly an excellent talk given by Ambassador Henry Cooper. It's on DVD, where he talks about the danger of a EMP attack on America, which within 6 to 12 months could lead to as many as 90% of the American people dying. And certainly, if you get the DVD, why, of course, we'll send along a copy of the Heritage Commission report by two PhDs, which will tell you exactly the same story. And, of course, this is what certainly Mr. Maloff says in his book, A Nation Forsaken. You'll find the same thing in the book 1 second after. You need to find out, ladies and gentlemen, the danger of an EMP attack and ask yourself why no preparations are being made to protect America. And you need to begin making plans to protect yourself. I really do believe this. And if you live in a major city, of course, think about where you can get. You're going to have to get out of the cities because there's not going to be any food or water after an EMP attack and taking down the electric grid. Let me suggest that you get a talk by Ambassador Cooper on DVD, the book A Nation Forsaken, and certainly the report, the congressional report on the 2004 commission. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Then, of course, we want to remind you, my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and quite frankly, we need your help to maintain the network of 50 stations, and certainly, you'd like to donate to us, you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, if you'd like to get the items that we offer. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com, where you can listen to our programs either live or archived 24 hours a day. As you know, we do 5 hours of talk radio every day. We have some of the most fascinating guests in the nation, and we'll certainly give you the information behind the scenes, the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Now, let me suggest, if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to. And if you would like to get a case of the books, you can get a case of the books. 64 books at less than $2.40 each. And if you get the case of the books, why, of course, you'll get a free, either a 4-CD set or DVD that we've created. That'll help you to deal with the postage. But give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We're almost a quarter of the way towards actually getting the book reprinted. And as soon as we do, this will probably be the last reprinting that I'll do. I'll be 84 next month. And the book will change the lives of people who read it and introduce them to the dark spirits of forces, not imaginary, but very real, that really run the world today. So basically, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival, because we need a great revival in America if America is to survive. But please pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, we'll be back with you once again. May the Lord be with you.
Gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show, 14 January 2013. Thank you so very much for joining us, caring about your world, standing and then standing. Only the strong will survive. That's right. No matter what issue it is we're talking about, only the strong will survive. Can you resist the flu shot if you're ordered to take it? Do you believe enough and what you've heard and read and studied about the vaccines to know that you need to stand for you and your family? Do you know enough about what gun control is all about to stand on that issue? It's time to educate ourselves. Everyone needs to be educated, because the lies are flying around. Absolutely. I'm going to talk later on about the deliberate intent to deceive people. It is an all-time high now. And interestingly enough, and I do want to thank the people that put together this information, the organized and professional disinformation